number one and number one equal a great profit one when you join the forces of Andrew McInnes and Carmine Bianco? Andrew dominated this past NHL season, finishing 144% in profit. In simple terms, if you would have bet $100 per percent of play, you won $14,360 betting hockey this season. By also playing $100 per percentage on Carmine soccer plays, you won an additional $11,936. And don't forget, the World Cup is back this year, giving this package even more value. A full year of soccer sells for $9.99, while NHL through the Stanley Cup is regularly priced at $6.99. This package regularly retails for $16.98. But head to either handicapper's page and get this Carmine and Andrew NHL soccer combo for only
$11.99.
Welcome to Wager Talk TV. I am Carmine Bianco, and this is Stoppage Time. We are back after a short rest. The international break is over. EPL soccer returns this weekend, and then Champions League the following weekend. So we'll be back to our two shows a week next week with some Champions League and then EPL on our Thursday shows. With me from WagerTalk.com, it's Nick Borman and Kevin Dolan, and of course, Pavlos Lagaretos, my favorite guy at Sports Memo. Guys, how you doing? International break is over. I'm sure you guys are raring to go.
I actually did a good job in the international break. So I was actually kind of sad that it finished. There were a lot of opportunities to be had. I made the best of it. Made over 27 units of profit in those last 4 days, so I'm more than happy, but I'm also excited to see the EPL, you know, Bundesliga, MLS back on track, because these are the money makers.
Yeah, they certainly are, Paulos. And as I was telling you before we went to air, my youngest brother is in Santorini right now, and I was texting with him prior to Greece's game, and you know, I said to him, he was on a patio, and I'm like, the Greece game is starting in about 30 minutes. He says to me, every single TV on the streets were tuned in already to the game. It's amazing that, but it's expected. It's the way it is in Europe. They love their football. It's true. On all the TVs. Meanwhile, here on our 10 sports channels, they're showing poker from 4 years ago. I just don't get it. But at some point, with the World Cup coming in 2026 to North America, that will change, I would think, anyways, but we shall see. Kev, Nick, how are you guys doing?
Yeah, all good. I'm glad to see domestic action back, to be honest. I did okay in the Nations League, but to be honest, I still can't get past the point of it being a scaled up friendly, really. We all know that. So yeah, World Cup, Euros, I'm all about that. I put up with Nations League, it's fine, but I'm all about Champions League and domestic leagues coming back. So yeah, I'm happy about this weekend starting up.
All right. And you are, or you were, and you still are, the $2 capper at Wager Talk. And I think you have your place still up for $2 on your page for this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, it goes off on Saturday, Carmine, over on college football. So, yeah, excited about that.
And Kev's absolutely, I know it's a different type of football. It's not the European one, but Kev absolutely kills it with his 4% and 5% plays up in college football. So you got to head over to his page and pick that up. It's only $2 with some great deals as well. All right, guys, this is what we're going to discuss on today's show. Three big games, and probably the three biggest games in the Premier League this weekend. It's the North London Derby, first game on Saturday, that tricky 7:30 Eastern time game. Arsenal hosting Tottenham at the Emirates. Then Crystal Palace and Chelsea, first Premier League game for Graham Potter. We're going to talk about that one. And then finish it off with Sunday's Manchester Derby. Erling Haaland and the Citizens host Man United. That should be a good one. But right off the bat, guys, it's the North London Derby. So let's get to that one. Let's have a look at the odds on this game. You got Arsenal at even money, plus 100. The draw is plus 266. Tottenham, plus 269. Those are the openers off of our Wager Talk live lines, which you can get, obviously, for free on our website. Guys, before I go to Nick on this one, it's the North London Derby. And if you're ever following these teams on social media, their fans just love to chirp each other. There aren't, I don't think I've seen a fan base in any sport that chirps each other like the Gunners and Spurs fans do. But, you know, when you look at this game, like neither team has done anything wrong. You know, Arsenal 6-1-0, their only loss to Man United. And then you have Tottenham, haven't lost a game yet, 5-0-2. My problem with this game, if you're looking at it from wanting to take the Spurs, my only problem with this game is you're looking at congested schedules coming up in this month of October. And you look at Tottenham, other than this game here, they've got a Tuesday Champions League game, and it's a big one. Only match day 3, but they're traveling to Germany to face Frankfurt. And they got to get a result there. They're sitting third in the group, tied with Frankfurt, and 3 points back of Sporting. And the other problem is your best player, Harry Kane, plays a meaningless game, the final game against Germany. Southgate played him both games, 90 minutes, 180 minutes this guy played. And now Conte's got to deal with that, him coming back, a short week of practice, being in the lineup, and then having a Tuesday game. And then another short week. I don't think he plays the full 90 minutes. He's going to get some rest at some point, whether he comes in the second half or he comes off in the second half. Conte's thinking about Champions League as much as he's thinking about Premier League. You look at Arsenal and Gabriel Jesus, their best striker. What does he do? Didn't play a single minute. Didn't even get called up for the Brazilian team in two friendlies. The rested team here is Arsenal, the better team here. Could be Tottenham, but when you look at who might actually be on that field for this game, I'm going to take Arsenal plus 100 here as my play. Nick, our first disagreement?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, I'm not, you know, this is a tough game. Anytime you're coming back from the international break, it's always, it's tough. I mean, the players are out of their usual routine, right? And obviously the team is out of their routine because half their teammates are away. So I do like this game for Spurs. I think they have a good chance to win this just as much as Arsenal does, and getting a head start on them at plus half a goal, I think, is a very good way to attack this game. I just don't see a lot different between the teams. Again, if you can put the international break aside and let's just assume this was playing as is going into it and looking at numbers. I mean, Arsenal, they're slightly better this year and expect a goal differential, plus 1.18 compared to plus 0.76. But Tottenham are averaging the most shots on goal per game at 7, so they're generating a lot of offense. Defensively, if you look at pure volume, it actually looks a little bit alarming for Spurs, allowing 15 shots per game compared to just 7.4 for Arsenal, so half. However, the Spurs are allowing just 0.069 expected goals per shot. And that number may not mean anything, but simply put, that is the lowest in the league. And they're allowing shots, but none of them are good quality ones. So it's kind of like, you know, people are trying to throw something at them from outside the box, and it's unlikely to go in anyway. So it's also worth noting, Arsenal lead the league this year in expected goals off of set pieces, while Tottenham is number one defensively in that category. So, you know, a lot of Arsenal's play has been coming from that set piece, and a lot of their goals and good chances have been. Tottenham's been very good at shutting teams down from that. So, you know, I'm assuming that's going to be a focus for Spurs this week. And, you know, if they can stop Arsenal or at least slow them down on the set pieces, that's really the only stat that they're showing, you know, any sort of offensive difference between the teams. And if they can stop that, there's not a lot of here on the field. So I just feel like there's more chances that this game, you know, ends either draw or in Tottenham's favor than just Arsenal's favor. So it's a little bit tricky coming off international break. Carmine, you mentioned right there at the end of your breakdown about, you know, who's going to play, how much are they going to play. So that is the challenge on any of these games this weekend in any league you're looking at. So it's going to take a little extra research, and you might have to wait a little bit closer to game day to get those answers. But as it stands now, I think there's value on just grabbing the underdog Spurs here.
All right, Nick Borman of WagerTalk.com. Paulos, I'm going to go to you next on this one. Arsenal's been flawless thus far at home. 3 wins in Premier League play, 8-4 goal differential. And you got to go back to, at least in Premier League play, you have to go back to 2010, the last time Tottenham came to the Emirates and got a result. They did beat them back in 18, but that was in the EFL. So in Premier League play, you got to go back to 2010. There's a few draws in there, but where are you going here?
Yeah, that's true. Arsenal, they've been really good in this London Derby against when they're hosting Tottenham. In recent years, they have 8 wins, just that one loss, and 4 draws. So they're looking to keep it up. But there's some very interesting, as you mentioned, Carmine, this international break kind of complicates things. Arsenal did not have a lot of players playing. Tottenham had the most influential players play a lot of minutes. Son, he played in both South Korea's friendlies, played 90 minutes in both matches, and he scored in both matches. Kulusevski, he played 83 minutes against Serbia and 90 minutes against Slovenia, and he got a muscle injury against Slovenia, and he's doubtful. I read today that he's doubtful to participate, so they're going to go with Son, Kane, and Richarlison up front. Richarlison played 62 minutes and 45 minutes in the two Brazilian friendlies. He scored 3 goals and an assist. He really wants that starting nod at Tottenham. And Harry Kane, as you said, played 90 minutes in both matches for England. The second one against Germany was a meaningless one, but tiredness might be an issue here. It might be a serious issue here, but I do see both teams getting on the score sheet. Arsenal, they're 4-1 to the both teams to score in last 5. They're 3-0 to the both teams to score in 3 home matches so far. Tottenham, they're 2-1 to the both teams to score on the road. They've kept just 1 clean sheet in 4 away matches in all competitions. Both teams to score is 6-2 in the last 8 matches between the two sides, regardless of venue. And both teams to score is 7-2 in the last 9 matches in this venue. So I'm just taking both teams to score at -163. Don't care who wins.
Don't care who wins. I love it. Pavlos, that is your tagline. That's Pavlos Sagretos of Sports Memo. Kev, I'm going to go to you for the final word here. And listen, I know I'm harping on the same thing, Kev, but like Southgate, what is he doing? They're relegated. It's essentially a friendly against Germany. They're relegated out of the Nations League Group A. What's he doing playing 90 minutes? It's one of those ones where I just can't figure Southgate out. And he's on borrowed time come the World Cup. If they don't do well or make a run, I think that is it for him as manager of the Three Lions. But give me your thoughts on this one.
As an Irishman, Carm, I hope that he stays in the job. I'm liking the way England are going right now, but... look, here we go again. Arsenal in big games. It's very difficult for me to back them. But I agree with what you said at the start. You know, plenty to like here if you're an Arsenal backer in this one. You know, we talked about that Tottenham haven't beat them since 2010. They've got the Champions League game coming up. And as well, look, you have to look at that Champions League group. That's probably the biggest cupcake group that you could have got. I mean, like, if Tottenham could have chose a group in Champions League, they would have chose the one they're in right now. And they're still... messed it up, so they're going to need to focus there. Arsenal do have a lot of injuries heading into this one themselves, though, so it's definitely not a slam dunk. But you know, the only difference I'd make this line, I just think it's a little bit high, so I have to lean towards Tottenham. I think Arsenal are deserved favourites here, but you know, possibly I would make it closer to a quarter goal than a full half goal here. You know, so I'd have to be pushed pretty hard to take this one, even though I lean Tottenham. But look, you know, Tottenham are unbeaten in the league away from home since March. You know, Chelsea couldn't beat them, Liverpool couldn't beat them. You know, we go back to February and Manchester City couldn't beat them either. So they are a tough nut to crack, especially under Conte since he took charge. They ranked top 5 this season in overall defensive XGA, as Nick mentioned. So as I said, if pushed, I would take Tottenham here. But in all honesty, this game scares me. You know, books opened up Arsenal as even stronger favourites than they are now. They obviously have more faith in this Arsenal team than I do. But even so, if there was one pass for me, it would be this game. It's not even a pizza money bet, more like a side of coleslaw if I had to put money on this game. But yeah, if you look, if you're making me pick a bet here, I would agree with Nick. I'd take Tottenham plus a half goal.
A side of coleslaw. I don't even know if there's an emoji for that on Twitter, but if there is, I'm going to put a side of coleslaw on this game as well too. It's kind of like Pablo says, I don't care who wins, but I want to see a good game. But with that said, let's get into the second game on today's card. This is a Saturday game again, Crystal Palace and Chelsea. The odds on this one, Crystal Palace plus 346 at home, the draw is plus 260. And Chelsea, a slight favorite at minus 119. Kev, I'm going to go to you back on this one, but it's quickly, it's the first Premier League game for Graham Potter. Obviously, he took over for a Champions League game in which they drew at home against, I think it was Salzburg. He needs to right this ship quickly for them. You know, they sit seventh in the league. They sit last in their group in Champions League. And their schedule, I keep talking about the October schedules, and it is going to be hectic as they squeeze in as many games as possible, especially with Champions League teams who are playing in Champions League, because there is a shutdown the second week of November for the World Cup this year. So who does Chelsea play after this game here? They've got two games against Italian champions AC Milan in Champions League, sandwiched in between those two games against a game against usually a defensively tough Wolverhampton side. It's a tough one. Listen, I like Chelsea anyways. If there's one thing they like to do, it is beat up on Crystal Palace. 9 straight Premier League wins against Crystal Palace. 10 if you include last year's 2-0 semi-final win in the FA Cup. So it's 10 straight over Crystal Palace. I'm going to look for them to win at a very short price here. So those are my thoughts, Kev. Are you looking at it the same way or a little differently?
No, I'm looking at it the same way, Carmine. If there's probably one aspect that Graham Potter has awoken to, it's the fact that the rope's a lot shorter when you reach this level of competition. You know, you get a bit of leeway with teams like Brighton, you get none with Chelsea. So all eyes are on every mistake. So probably not the best debut against Salzburg. But, you know, saying that, look, you look at the data. Chelsea should have won that game. 16 goal attempts to 4, 1.54 XG. to just 0.38. So they were a little unfortunate not to walk away with the win in that one. You know, especially those chances near the end as well with Zajic and Broha as well. So I don't think that draws a huge concern. It certainly, you know, probably didn't tell us anything about Chelsea moving forward. He just didn't have time. So this is a much different animal. You know, he's got 2 full weeks to prepare for this one. So I expect this to be the game kind of where we see Potter's blueprint for this team moving forward. And the reason I agree with you, look, as good as Crystal Palace have been playing this season, you know, and I'm a big fan of them. I've already backed them a couple of times this season. You know, even with the fact of, you know, Chelsea sitting bottom of the Champions League group as well, they badly need a win against AC Milan on Wednesday. The fact that they won't have to leave London, and this is the main reason I like Chelsea this weekend, is because for all the matches that they play, they stay in the capital. They're in the capital for the next 2 weeks plus, and that's a massive benefit, you know, minimal travel time involved. And unlike a lot of teams, you know, that have to choose to prioritize certain competitions over other ones, you know, for whatever reason, Chelsea don't have that luxury here. They, as you said, they're 7th in the league right now in the EPL. So Champions League aside, they have to kind of win this game. They can't afford to slip away any further. As you mentioned as well, they do have a tricky October coming up, not just in Champions League, in the league. You mentioned Wolves. They've got Manchester United as well. They've got Potter's former side, Brighton. So you just can't take any of those results for granted. And because of that, you know, Potter needs results now. He can't afford to wait around. We got to you know, wait for the Champions League. So while all of that's a major concern, you know, Chelsea have depth. They have the ability to juggle multiple competitions. So I see them winning this game as well. It is a tricky game. Look, Crystal Palace are nobody's fools by any stretch, especially at home. But I just believe that with, you know, with no travel, realistically, you know, 2 full weeks to prepare for this one as well. Plus the fact you mentioned Chelsea's great head-to-head record. You know, Chelsea won 4 of the last 5 head-to-heads to nil against Crystal Palace as well. That's the way I like in this one. You know, Chelsea to win the nil plus 190 on Saturday. It looks like decent value to me against the Crystal Palace side that ranks fourth from bottom on overall offensive XG. For as well as they've been playing, they haven't created a ton of chances. So, yeah, Chelsea to win the nil for me this weekend, plus 190. I like that price.
I like that price as well, too, Kev. That's a great bet and a good thought process on the fact that Chelsea will be at home and not a lot of travel over the next, couple of weeks. Pavlos, I'm going to go to you to this. You know, and we talked about Potter, former Brighton manager, who were direct rivals of Crystal Palace, and he's never won there. Four draws and two losses in his six travels with Brighton. He's got a better team this time around. Does he get a win?
Well, I'm not sure. If you take his results with Brighton into consideration, who are, of course, you know, a much smaller group and a much smaller team, much worse roster, you know, than Chelsea, they had five unders in the last six matches against Crystal Palace. Again, that was when he was coaching Brighton. And now with Chelsea, I think we're going to see a similar situation where they play mad defense. And he now has the pieces to play good defense. Thomas Tuchel couldn't really get the best out of, Cucurella and Koulibaly and all the other. They have a great offense, a great defense on paper, but Thomas Tuchel couldn't really get the best out of that defense, and that's why he was sacked. I think it was not only the offense, the slight offensive problems, but it was most likely because of the defense. And I think Potter has, the mentality to change that. So I do see a low-scoring match here. Of course, Crystal Palace, you know, they have Zaha. The guy wants out every other summer, every other January. The guy wants out. And Chelsea were considering him in this summer transfer window, but a deal was never materialized. So I think Zaha will really want to hurt Chelsea for not picking him once again, because Chelsea are one of the teams that are usually, you know, between the two or three teams who are supposedly interested in Zaha again every summer. So I think Zaha will want to score against this Chelsea side. I'm not sure if he's going to do that because, Chelsea, they have the numbers. They have the people to play good defense. They have the coach that knows how to play good defense. And I just see this match as a very, very low scoring one. That's why I like the under 2.5 goals here. I think Chelsea, if they go 1-0 up, they're probably going to be able to hold that result. A 1-1 draw, I can't really take that out of the question. But yeah, this looks more like a 1-0, 2-0 win, you know, for Chelsea to me. But I like the under 2.5 goals here. I think this is going to be a very slow paced match.
All right, Pablo Sagretos of Sports Memo. Nick, you know what I mean? You look at it, and Potter's first game for Chelsea was that Champions League game against Salzburg. They played well defensively before conceding a goal. I think it was in the 75th minute for a 1-1 disappointing draw, especially considering that game was at Stamford Bridge. What are you expecting from this Chelsea team on the weekend?
It's hard to say. I mean, to expect a lot from Potter in that first game in Champions League with not much time, it's going to be a tall task. And sure, there's been more time to get back to this Premier League game, but is it all good? I don't know. So,
What's that audio?
Not sure. All right. Okay. So, sorry, my train of thought was, I'm not really wanting to get behind Chelsea yet until we see something from them. And Potter really didn't have a chance to play, play with his side and his team and his guys in that Salzburg game, because it was only a couple days at the helm. And during the international break, you know, so many guys have been away. So what has he been really able to do with the team all in one piece? And it's hard to say that. So I am just not interested in getting my money on Chelsea until we see something. Should we eventually see something from him? I would think so. But let me tell you, I mean, really, if you just look at some numbers, here's why I don't want anything to do with Chelsea right now. They sit with a minus 0.13 expected goal differential per game. They allow the most expected goals per shot in all the Premier League, 0.148 per shot. Set pieces on both sides of the ball for them, they average the third fewest expected goals from set pieces per game while allowing the third most. And what's worse, all those numbers that are terrible, they've played a very easy schedule. They've only played one top six side in Tottenham. Palace, on the other hand, they've already faced three top six sides and don't really have much worse numbers than Chelsea does. And they've played, you know, like I said, a tougher schedule, and it includes a road draw at Liverpool, who's another struggling EPL side to start the season. So, Carmine, you mentioned the one trend that is certainly not in Palace's favor, and that's the fact that Chelsea have won 10 straight. I won't be surprised if Chelsea do win this game. I just don't want to put any money on them right now until we see something from them. So if I'm betting here and I'm taking a side, I'm going to go Palace with a head start just because I don't trust Chelsea yet.
All right, Nick Borman of WagerTalk.com. Sorry, we had a brief technical issue there, but everything is good. So we are moving on to Sunday, the Manchester Derby. Let's have a look at the numbers on this one. Man City -293 at home. The draw is +480. And if you like United, you're getting a juicy +671 on them. Apollos, I'm going to go to you first on this one. And all I'm going to say, well, a couple of quick things, quick thoughts is, number one, it's a shame we had the international break, because these teams heading into the international break were playing so well. City has not lost a game, going 5-0-2. And then you have United, four straight wins since opening up with a couple of losses. Two of those wins against Arsenal, dealing Arsenal their only loss on the season, and then beating Liverpool as well, too. That started that streak of four. I'm going to keep this short. This City team is playing extremely well at home. They're playing extremely well overall. They seem to be filling that net with goals at will. And in both wins last year against United, they had the lead at halftime. So I'm bringing back my trusty old halftime, full-time prop bet. Man City, halftime, full-time, -105. That's where I'm going, Pavlos. Tell us what you got.
That's a nice bet, I guess. As soon as, you know, as long as City don't win by more than one goals, because I like United here. And, you know, this Manchester derbies have been really weird in the sense that only two times the home side has won in the last 10 matches between the two sides, regardless of venue, one for each team. So there's usually a lot of draws or visitor wins whenever these two play against each other. Now, City, they've won just two of the last eight home matches against Manchester United. They have two wins, five losses, and one draw. And I know we bust a lot on this United side at the start of the season, but they were a dumpster fire. They were truly a dumpster fire. There were a lot of moving pieces, injured players, you know. But now they've looked really, really well in their last five or six matches. They only lost to Real Sociedad in the Europa League. But I do think with the addition of Antony, and now with, you know, the new coach has infused his mentality to the team, I think this is going to be a winning team. Now, I'm not sure if they can avoid the loss here, but I'm you know, my hand is kind of itchy to back Manchester United with a double chance here, +0.5 goal at +230. But I'm going to take it slowly. I'm going to pick United with +1.5 goal. That's right where the spread is. Again, City can drop like three or four on any given night, but this Manchester United side has really shaped up their defense. As long as Maguire stays on the freaking bench, because that guy was horrible against England. I mean, I could make thoughts about him being involved in fixed matches or whatever. This can't be a serious professional player. So as long as Maguire stays on the bench, I think United have what it takes to keep Manchester City at bay and avoid a full-blown loss here. So I like Manchester United +1.5 goal, but I wouldn't be surprised if they escape with some points here.
All right, Pavlos Lagaretos of Sports Memo. Nick, I'm going to go to you next on this one. You look at, you know, one of the things with United, and Pavlos mentioned it, is you got Maguire on the bench, and all of a sudden this team is playing much better defensively. They've got some clean sheets on there as well, too. It's something that in those first couple of games they definitely did not have. Give me your thoughts on this one. Do we see goals, or do we see some more United strong defensive play?
Maguire and Ronaldo on the bench, right? So I agree with Pavlos in the fact that I think United can contain City here. And listen, I kind of consider myself an Etihad Stadium expert now that I've, you know, visited and attended a game. So I know where the beer is. I know where the pizza is. Well, that clearly makes this game an under. I mean, I just know that's what's going to happen. I just know the stadium and how this game's going to play out. So it makes a lot of sense to me. Jokes aside, Listen, the trend in this game, in this series, as Pavlos did allude to, is United's one of those few teams that has had City's number, and it's been low scoring. I mean, you look at the last 10 matches, only two of them have finished over this total. We're looking at 3.25 goals is the total right now. Going back even further, only 14 of the last 18 have finished under this total. City, they lead all the big five European leagues, as they kind of do every year, and allowing just 0.57 expected goals. Granted, their schedule, this time of year, we always talk about scheduling and seeing who's played who. Theirs might be the easiest so far in the Premier League. This is the first top six side they have faced, so we'll see how they come out here. United, we know how ugly their season started, but they've won four straight. They went from a minus 0.4 expected goal differential in their first two games to plus 0.39 in those last four, and that includes, of course, Liverpool and Arsenal in those four games. So pretty solid there. It's hard to know, as Carmine mentioned about the international break, it's hard to know if that momentum will still be there for United, but I think they're going to do a solid job at least at containing City. So I don't care who wins, as Pablo says. I'll just stick to the under 3.25 goals in this one.
All right. Nick Borman, a wager talk with the under in that one. Kev, Nick knows where the beer is. He knows where the pizza is at the Etihad, but does he know where the coleslaw is? Tell us if you've got a coleslaw bed for us.
I was just thinking the same thing as he was talking about that. I'm like, where's the coleslaw stand? But look, not much to add, you know, because like you, I would have liked to see this game happen before the international break, because United won an absolute role, you know, ever since that utter embarrassment against Brentford back in August. They've looked like a completely new team. So, as I say, yeah, I don't have a whole lot to add, but I don't think the European games in midweek will hold much of an impact. You know, City play Copenhagen on Wednesday, United play Nicosia on Thursday. So I expect both sides to be zeroed in on this clash. And because of that, I agree with the fellas. I think United are going to be a tough out here. At full strength. So, it's actually a play I'll consider making as well before the weekend. But, like I said, if I do end up playing this one, I'll be on Manchester United plus 1.5 goals as well.
All right. There you have it. The last word on the Manchester Derby from Kevin Dolan at WagerTalk.com. And he's the $2 capper this week on the $2 Tuesdays. And you can get his Saturday play still over on his page for $2 with some great deals. He's absolutely killing it in American football, college football. So, but back to European football and North America with some show best bets. And we'll kick it off with an MLS game and Nick Borman.
Sticking with that MLS, like you mentioned, Carmine, two games left in the regular season, but this is essentially a playoff game, and that's Atlanta on the road at New England. I like Atlanta plus 0.25 goal. New England come in, three straight losses and just one win in their last eight games over the first 24 matches of the season. Their expected goal differential is minus 0.07, just barely on that playoff caliber side. Now, the last eight games, that expected goal differential is minus 0.95, and that is very bad. They're allowing a whopping 2.1 expected goals in those eight games. Atlanta, they've been the better team on both sides of the ball this season, including ranking number four in shots allowed on goal. And offensively, though, is where they've shined. They lead the entire league, 15.9 shots per game and 5.6 on goal, and that comes to the fifth highest expected goal average, 1.71. If you know me by now, you know I never trust a bad defense to lay goals, and that's what we're looking at here. New England ranks near the bottom and is favored against one of the most dynamic offenses. I just don't like it. I don't like the form. Atlanta seemed to be coming in with a little bit of momentum here. So I'm going to take the head start and grab Atlanta plus 0.25 goal on Saturday MLS.
All right. Atlanta for Nick. Atlanta is also a very good show if you haven't watched it, Nick. Pavlos, you are going to the EPL in a Monday game, which it could be Brendan Rodgers' last game for Leicester City if they don't get a result. But tell us what you got.
Well, it could be, and it could be not. You know, Leicester, they're sitting at the bottom of the EPL, the only team without a win, the only team with six losses in seven matches, horrible defense with 22 conceded goals, three more conceded goals than the second worst defense, which is Bournemouth, which conceded 9 goals against Liverpool. That's how bad this Leicester defense is. They conceded 6 goals to Tottenham right before the break. They conceded 5 to Brighton right before that. They've not kept a single clean sheet so far in the season. They conceded 2+ goals in 6 of 7 matches. Their offense does provide, though, scoring in 6 of 7 matches and scoring 2+ goals in 4 of 7 matches. Now, Nottingham, they started the season with 4 consecutive matches to the under 2.5 goals, but each of their last 3 matches had 5 goals or more. They lost all 3, conceded 12 goals, but did score a couple of goals in each of their last 2. Now, Nottingham, they've kept just 1 clean sheet in 7 matches so far and conceded 2+ goals in all 5 losses. Now, Nottingham, they bought a gazillion players in the transfer window, and I did mention on numerous occasions that chemistry is going to be an issue. Leicester, they're under a lot of pressure right now, looking for the first win of the season against a team that was recently promoted. They obviously can't play defense, so they will have to find success by outscoring their opponents. I do see goals here, so I'm going to take the combo or the combination or same game parlay of both teams to score and over 2.5 goals at even money.
All right, Pavlos Lagaretos of Sports Memo with a play in the EPL and in the UK, where they have a king now. And speaking of kings, we have the King of Spain finishing it off with a play here. Kev, give us a play.
19-5 now in the Spanish Liga plays. Is there an Emperor of Spain? I might have to upgrade myself. But yeah, I love the Spanish League. And I'm on a play tomorrow night, 2% play for me and my clients. And that's Atletico Bilbao to win and cover against Almeria over in Spanish La Liga on Friday. I said in the European preview show before the season kicked off that Athletic Bilbao were my dark horses for a top 4 finish. That was primarily based on how good this team are at home. You know, from February on last season, this team ranked as the best team in the league in overall points gained in La Liga alongside Atletico Madrid, number 1 in XG, number 1 in XGA, number 1 in expected points. So at home, this team are unreal. They've started out this season in similar fashion, just 1 loss at home all year, 3rd best expected points tally in the league as well. And they face a team in Almeria here on Friday who, you know, are coming off 3 straight losses now in the league. They haven't won a game on the road all season. You know, and their schedule has been really light. You know, they face relegation candidates, Real Valladolid, Elche, and so on. So this is going to be a big step up for them here on Friday going into Bilbao. So I see Bilbao winning this one by margin. So, yeah, give me Athletic Bilbao minus 1.25 for me on Friday at home against Almeria. Best bet.
All right. All hail the king. Kevin Dolan, the Irishman. I am going to finish it off, and it's a game we touched on right at the top of the show. I am going to take Arsenal plus 106. This team is top of the league right now, playing really well. Just that one hiccup, really, at Old Trafford against United, where they lost 3-1. But it's always tough with Arsenal because you're expecting them to fall apart at some point. But Arteta's got them playing some really good football at the moment. And I just don't know what the mindset of Conte is going into this game, given the fact that they have a very big game on Tuesday in Germany that they have to travel to. And Kane just played 180 minutes for the national team, which I don't understand at all. So I think he gets a little bit of rest. I'm going to take Arsenal here. I'm getting plus money, plus 106, and that's the way we are going to go. Guys, thanks for tuning in. We covered 3 games, of course, Arsenal, Tottenham, Crystal Palace, Chelsea, Man City and Man United in the Manchester Derby. We're going to be back on Tuesday with some Champions League soccer, 10 a.m. again. And then, of course, back in our regular Thursday time slot where we'll cover some more weekend Premier League games. Thanks for watching and good luck with your wagers, guys. We'll see you next week.
When do number 1 and number 1 equal a great profit 1? When you join the forces of Andrew McInnes and Carmine Bianco. Andrew dominated this past NHL season, finishing 144% in profit. In simple terms, if you would have bet $100 per percent of play, you won $14,360 betting hockey this season. By also playing $100 per percentage on Carmine soccer plays, you won an additional $11,936. And don't forget the World Cup is back this year, giving this package even more value. A full year of soccer sells for $9.99, while NHL through the Stanley Cup is regularly priced at $6.99. This package regularly retails for $16.98. But head to either handicapper's page and get this Carmine and Andrew NHL soccer combo for only $11.99.